Preparations. Morning in Concord, Massachusetts. Jordan stood beneath the graceful willow tree in the garden outside his bedroom, watching the buildup of going-to-work traffic on the street beyond the hedge. Cars and the occasional bus flowed along quietly, their electric engines purring softly. Not much of a morning rush, he thought. It's actually rather peaceful. Otero had arranged a date with a tailor for Jordan. He had brought only the clothes on his back, and the network owner wanted him to look stylish, attractive. Although he laundered the shirt, slacks, and underwear he'd been wearing before going to bed, Jordan had to admit they were beginning to look shabby. Glancing at his wrist, Jordan saw that the tailor was due in another half hour. Stepping back into the bedroom, he decided to finish his morning coffee and then stand to be measured. "Friend Jordan." Audrey's tall, lean figure stood in the bedroom's holographic viewer. Wearing a full-length, softly creased robe of grayish-blue, the old man appeared to be walking in a park, thick with brightly colored flowers. "I know your responses to me will take an hour to reach here," Audrey said in his soft, slightly sibilant voice. "So if you don't mind, I will talk while you listen." Jordan hurried to the sitting room and dropped onto the sectional sofa. Audrey was on the viewer there as well, of course. Jordan saw a small, furry, big-eyed head peeking out of the folds of Audrey's robe, one of his pets.
"Aditi has told me that you require imagery of some of the worlds our exploratory spacecraft have observed. I can send you such images, although many of them, images of worlds that have been destroyed by the death wave, will undoubtedly be quite disturbing to you."
"The more disturbing, the better," Jordan replied silently.
"I presume you have equipment that can record the images. Otherwise, we will have to arrange to send them to you at the time you are actually making your presentation. That might be a little tricky, you know."
His eyes riveted on Audrey's seamed face. Jordan tapped the phone console on the sofa's end table and canceled his tailor's appointment. Carlos Otero's personal assistant was Elizabeth Beauregard, a short, stocky, highly intelligent woman who was known to Otero's top staff people as Betty the Bodyguard, or even Betty the Bitch. She had worked for Otero for nearly 10 years and had seen more than her share of importunate people who simply had to see the big boss. Connivers and conmen, ardent champions of noble causes who wanted to bend Otero's ear about how much good he could do for them. Intensely serious people who had the inside information on scandals, on government cover-ups, on imminent disasters and hidden treasures. Beautiful, impatient, smoldering women eager to have Otero smile upon them. Betty the bodyguard sized them up and put them down. Only rarely did she allow someone, anyone, to break through and see the big boss. Her instincts seldom failed her. When she did allow someone to get past her, as she had with Vera Griffin little more than a week ago, it almost always worked out well. Now she was facing a smiling, smooth-talking, devilishly attractive Italian from the World Council. Rudolfo Castiglione claimed to be a personal assistant to Anita Halleck herself, and he flashed impressive credentials along with his killer smile. But Elizabeth Beauregard knew that her boss loathed Anita Halleck, and thought the World Council was a gaggle of collectivists who were determined to establish a global tyranny. No, an interplanetary tyranny. Sitting at her immaculately clean desk, Betty looked up at Castiglione and said in her unemotional, no-nonsense voice,
"I'm very sorry, sir, but Mr. Otero has a totally full calendar. He gave me strict orders not to add a single item to his schedule."
Castiglione's smile did not diminish by a single watt. "Not even an urgent request from the chairwoman of the World Council?" Blinking her brown eyes at him, Betty replied,
"I could lose my job, sir."
"But this is important," Castiglione insisted. Betty knew that sometimes appearing to bend a little could disarm an insistent visitor. She said,
"Perhaps if you could tell me what this is all about."
Castiglione drew himself up to his full height. "It concerns the Starman, Jordan Kell."
"Oh," she said. "Then you'd probably want to talk with Vera Griffin."
"Who is she?" the producer of a show we're going to do about New Earth and this death wave that's supposed to be coming our way. Castiglione's brows knit slightly as he thought it over. After a few heartbeats, he said, "Very well, then. I'll talk with her." Betty, the bodyguard, kept herself from smiling. But she was thinking the old deflection routine, palm them off on one of the peons and keep the boss happy. Then she added, "And it'll serve Ms. Griffin right, her and her goddamned persistence."